Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins. Jesus said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose dear Son, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you that on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 116 in unison. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him. How shall I enjoy the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaiden. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to thank each one of you for being here tonight. Every year I'm so surprised by how our church seems to thin out on these holiest of days when Jesus is going through such agony and pain, and it's the very special ones who come. And so I'm glad you're here. It's hard to walk these steps with Jesus. In his book, Benediction, the author Kent Harouf tells a story of a man who is dying of cancer. They call him Dad. That's his nickname, because he's like everybody's dad. Dad Lewis. Many years before his diagnosis, when Dad Lewis was just middle-aged, he came home one afternoon early from work, and he found his son Frank. Frank was in high school at the time. He found his son Frank had dressed up in their mother's dress and had put on lipstick. Dad grew up in the plains of Colorado, and that kind of behavior was just not tolerated. He lost it. He beat his son. He used a whip that he uses for the cattle, and he sliced his son's face. Just a year later, when his son graduated from high school, he ran away. And Dad never saw him again. The book opens as Dad gets his diagnosis and he searches for his son and he can never find him. On his deathbed, his son appears to him in a dream and he begs for his son's forgiveness and tells him how he was just scared and he didn't understand. And he wishes he could take it all back and that he's sorry. Every one of us, if we were told that we were going to die tomorrow, you'd be able to see what was most important to us right away. Because we wouldn't waste a moment, right? If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, whatever you did between now and then would tell me what your real priorities are. Most of us would want to be surrounded by the people we love the most. And we'd want to tell them we love them. We'd want to right any relationships that weren't right to say we were sorry. Jesus also knew that he was going to die. He knew that something painful was going to happen. And so the night before he died, he did what was most important to him, which was to gather his friends together and to tell them that he loved them. Jesus tells them that he loves them and tells us that he loves us in two ways. One way is through this magnificent, mysterious meal that we share together every Sunday. This event called the Eucharist, where he actually gives his body and blood to us. And then the second thing he did, only in the Gospel of John, was Jesus washed their feet. The Son of God got down on his knees and washed the dirtiest, smelliest parts of the human body. In the Galilee, people walked everywhere and their feet were caked with dust and dirt. And washing them was no joke. I think Jesus was trying to tell us that he not only wants us to love one another, but he wants us to go all the way with that love If you think that in your marriage or with your spouse or with your children that it's good enough to go halfway and wait for them to meet you there, then that's not real love. Real love is you getting down and washing their feet, you doing everything that you can to reach the people you love, no matter if they offend you or anger you or not, going all the way to find them and getting down on your knees before them. So once a year, Christians all over the world reenact the foot washing. And I invite you to participate with us tonight in that. We will come here and wash each other's feet, and if you feel so moved, simply get up and come forward and wash someone else's feet and let them wash yours. If doing that is too uncomfortable for you or too hard, then just watch it happen. And remember Jesus and look at it as an icon, as a picture of what he did. It is a physical manifestation of love itself. What do we do before we die? We tell people we love them. What else is there to say? What else is there to say? Please stand. The Lord Jesus, after he had supped with his disciples and had washed their feet, said to them, "Do you know what I, your Lord and Master, have done to you? I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall the world know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another.
Thank you.
We continue with the prayers of the people found in your bulletin. Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord, for all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain. Good Lord, for peace throughout the world, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord, for this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord. For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord. For those who have died. Good Lord. We thank you for this time to worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. Good Lord. Walk with us, O Christ, as the evening begins, and we remember your last days. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good evening. Thank you all again for being here. It's so wonderful to see you this evening. And I want to say a special thank you to a wonderful group of people who are hardly ever identified because their ministry is always in the background. But they work every Sunday and at every service of the church year, faithfully setting up our altar, making beautiful flower arrangements, ironing linens, doing all kinds of things that make this worship so beautiful. So, Sanctuary Guild, would you stand up for a minute and let us give you a thank you? We're so grateful for all that you do. Good and faithful servants. At the end of this service, you will see that the altar begins to be stripped of everything. That is because once Jesus was captured, he was stripped and beaten. And the sacrament will be taken from our altar and from our altar of repose into Cummings Chapel, which is designed to look like the Garden of Gethsemane. And you're welcome after this service to go into the Cummings Chapel and pray. People will be praying there all night, so you're welcome to join them at any point throughout the night or in the early morning or tomorrow, all the way up until noon on Good Friday. There is a sign-up sheet for those who want to pray in Cummings Chapel, or if you'd like to pray in your own home. The sign-up sheet is near Ingram Lounge outside this way if you'd like to sign up for what is called the Watch, which is the praying of Christians all over the world tonight, because Jesus asked us to stay awake with him, and the disciples kept falling asleep, so we try to make up for that on this night. Please look at the back of your bulletin if you have any questions about our Good Friday services or Easter services. They're all listed there. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and singing. Praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends. And taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that he may evermore dwell in us, and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and is raised for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."